This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. These days, everything is amped up, or as the folks in Spinal Tap put it, cranked up to 11. We have extreme makeovers, extreme sports, and yes, now we'd like to introduce extreme leaf peeping. Here with me in Studio 3 is a man who has been dubbed the Arboreal Oracle, professional photographer and expert leaf peeper, Jeff Folger. Jeff Folger, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you're now recognized as the top leaf peeper, but it wasn't always so. You came to this kind of slowly, but what drew you to it?
Oh, it was the beauty. I just love being out in nature. I love exploring New England, getting out the back roads. I love telling everybody, hey, here's, you know, you can travel the Kankamagas Highway up in New Hampshire, be bumper to bumper, or you can go the other direction. You can go out on these back roads and find beautiful scenery. You can find beautiful fall foliage.
So you're a professional photographer now taking wedding photos, but of course you're taking lovely pictures of peak foliage all over New England now as Jeff. It's supposed to be Folger, but it's really foliage now. Many people know you as. You spent 22 years in the Air Force before that. What do you do every day? How do you make this happen? Give us a typical day. What time do you start? How does it come together?
Well, usually if I'm going to be out on the road, it's going to be 3 to 4 a.m. if I'm going to be in the Northeast Kingdom or up around Pittsburgh, New Hampshire, or if I'm heading up into Maine, I got to start real early.
Driving.
Driving.
There's nothing to see at 3 to 4 p.m.
No. I'm going to be on the road for 3 to 4 hours to get up to where the fall foliage is.
Gotcha.
And then I start driving around and I start keeping notes. I have a digital voice recorder and I tell myself, you know, okay, here's where I'm finding it. Oh, I found some really good stuff. Let me get out and take a picture of it. And then I go on and I start exploring, you know, what the limits of the foliage are. This year has been spectacular. Up in the Northeast Kingdom, over into northern New Hampshire, it was just phenomenal. The best I've seen in over 10 years. And I think, you know, anybody who was here early in October, late September, probably had some of the best peak viewing fall foliage that I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was really good. But it changed pretty quick, too, because right as soon as about the 3rd to 4th of October, the rain started moving in. And things became darker, a little bit less bright. And we had about 7 days of rain and clouds, which really kind of slowed the progress down, which is why now we've had 3 to 5 days of sun. And I'm looking out, coming down 95, down here in Boston, the colors are popping. They're very nice down here. It's not all perfect. It's not consistent, but it is very nice.
What did you see on your way to here to GBH that you thought was outstanding?
Oh, I was right near Reading on 95. The colors in a short stretch were just phenomenal. They were very, very good. Anybody would be happy to see them. But then you go a little bit further or maybe earlier than that, and the trees were bare. So that's what I mean about the consistency isn't there. We really like to see, everybody likes to see more consistent in their colors. It isn't going to happen. They're going to have to drive around and they're going to find spots of really nice color.
Now, what you've just described and how you described it is, you know, sounds like a guy who knows what he's doing and knows where to look and how to look. I mean, you're professional in that way. You're working against nature because you never know what's going to happen with nature, so you have to sort of be on top of it. And your driving motivation originally was because you kept getting incorrect information about where good stuff was.
Yeah, it wasn't so much incorrect as there wasn't much out there. When I retired from the Air Force in 2003, I didn't have a job at the time, and I started just flailing around. Okay, where's the color? I'll ask my sister who lives up in New Hampshire. I'd ask some other people, and it's like, well, you got to get on this road, and you got to go over here. And it's this. We're talking late August and September, and it's too early. Nobody was telling me that, well, it's really the last week in September, the 25th maybe, and goes from there and it starts building and you got to go way north, Aroostook County, Maine, or, you know, Pittsburgh, New Hampshire. And I didn't know that. I was looking in southern New Hampshire figuring, okay, well, where's the color? And everybody has this problem. This is not just me. It's I get the questions constantly from Australia, from Egypt, from around the world, let alone, you know, everywhere in the lower 50 states. you know, I get that constant question. So that's what I've kind of driven myself. I used to work for Yankee for a while as their first—
Yankee Magazine.
Yankee mm-hmm. Magazine. I was their first foliage blogger. And, you know, I was constantly getting emails and questions of, you know, how do we go about finding peak fall foliage? I only want to see peak fall foliage. And it's like, well, that's not going to happen. You know, you're going to find something and, you know, make your plans like this. And I'll give them advice. And it just sort of grown from that. I try to make my website, which is jefffoliage.com, a place to stop at and, you know, read what is going on, help with their planning, because vacations are expensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not a cheap process for people, and they don't want to, you know, get here. I have people who email me say, well, I'm showing up on 27 October. Am I going to miss the colors?
You just look right in your crystal ball and tell them, right? I am speaking with the Boreal Oracle himself, Jeff Foliage, real name Jeff Folger. We're talking about extreme leaf peeping because he's a guy that does it all the time. So I got to ask you about C4SC, which to the average person would sound like something found in a science lab beaker, but really stands for?
Color for the sake of color.
And that speaks to, you don't have a problem with that. You're a professional and looking for this peak, but you say, go for it, amateurs.
Yeah, well, outside your windows here, we're looking at locust trees, and they're very pretty. Yellow, coming from green to yellow, and, you know, they make a very nice statement. You know, it's just sometimes like yesterday I was out in, Rhode Island, mm-hmm. going into Massachusetts, and I found an incredible red maple tree, a whole row of green ones, and this one that was so orangey red against this deep blue sky, pictures on my website in the current article, and it was just— it just floored me. I hit the brakes, pulled over, and I snapped a few pictures of it just because it's like, oh, my God. You know, it just— that's the only way to term it. Oh, my God. And it doesn't sell. I'm not going to ever sell that picture, but boy, does it make me happy. And that's fine. I'm perfectly okay with that. I will stop all day long and take pictures that are C4SC, you know, color for the sake of color. It doesn't matter. It just— be happy with what you photograph. You know, you're taking home memories, and, you know, enjoy your memories, enjoy your vacation memories, and, you know, get the kids out underneath the tree and photograph it. That's fine. You know, not everybody's a professional photographer. I have a few that come through, and I have many New England Photography Guild members who, you know, associate with me, and we go out doing photography, and, yeah, we're looking for shots that we can sell. But I'll be darned if they don't all shoot shots just because it's really a pretty shot. It's a gorgeous color of orange or orange and yellow and bright red.
So I can hear some of this, your great enthusiasm about what you do and the enjoyment out there. I'd like a fuller description, if you can give me one, of emotionally what you feel when you find that red maple in the string of green trees, or you see something along the way after you've gotten up 4 hours ahead of time and, and it's just perfect. And it's either just perfect or just color for the sake of color or whatever. But you're out there and you're communing. What's going through you?
Everybody asks that. The biggest thing to me is joy. It is just sheer joy in finding this little gift from God that, you know, we got this bright reddish orange tree, and maybe it's contrasting against some green ones, some evergreens, doesn't matter. It's just a sheer joy of finding something like this because it's not common. It's not all the time. It's a very short window of time, you know, maybe for a week. It's going to be like this, and then it's gone until the next year. Maybe next year it doesn't come back at all, and it's a whole other tree someplace else.
Yeah, what do you do with yourself? Because you're out every day during, you know, color season.
Yeah.
Then after that, you know, you're just— was a big letdown, and you just—
oh, it's a very it's a very big letdown. I basically am sitting down, relaxing for several weeks. I have friends down in Salem, Mass, who have a haunted house down in the East India Mall there, Nightmare Factory. And I work with them at going into the Halloween time period. And it's, I work on all my pictures. I've got several thousand pictures for this season. and
so you just sort through them.
I'm sorting through them. Yeah, you know, what are my sellers? What are the ones that make me really happy? You know, I've got some junk in there. Got to cull that and get that out of there. And you know, it's just
get ready for the next season.
And I'm constantly blogging. I don't stop. You know, completely. Mm-hmm. You know, in November I'll post some things and I'll move on, talk about other subjects, maybe go on to planning, find out, you know, so I'll get an email in November or December saying, hey, I'm coming in 2013. I got to put my thinking cap back on. You know, how can I best answer their question and help them, you know, in the future?
Are you, as a photographer, and with so much enjoyment of looking at and taking the photographs that you take, are you nostalgic for the old analog film or digitals?
No.
Fine with you? No, better.
I did shoot.
Yeah.
I came to my epiphany was setting up my film camera and my digital camera side by side and taking the exact same picture, and I really couldn't tell the difference.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I've still got both sets of pictures, but it doesn't matter to me because, you know, I've just moved on. It's like I like film, but the satisfaction isn't there. You know, I like the immediate gratification. I get home, I'm looking through all my pictures right then and there. And I don't have to send them out. I don't have to get them all printed, all the involved steps that we used to need to do. Now it's anybody can take pictures and really enjoy them almost immediately.
Now, you seem to chart your own course, but are there people that try to get you to certain areas? Because you're a major influencer. So if you say Peak is going to be here, then there goes people going to the restaurants, the inns, the everything that's happening in that area. I mean, that's the economy. That's big money.
Oh, it is. And I don't get a lot, but I do get a few tweets and stuff. Hey, Jeff, you know, I'm seeing Peak here, you know, and I'm like going, where's that? And now you're seeing Peak? I don't think so.
So you can't be fooled that easily.
No, I mean, I could be wrong. It is very possible. It happens once or twice. But in general, I think that most people are pretty honest with me with the tips they pass me. I have photographers in the guild who are around New England, you know, several in Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, and they're telling me what they're seeing. And I trust almost implicitly the photographers. When they say, I've got Peak or I've got really good, next week it's going to be just awesome, I'm trusting these folks to give me really good info. If I'm getting it just arbitrarily, somebody says, if a hotel calls me up and says, hey, Jeff, we got really good, then I'm like going, okay, where are they located? And, you know, is there an ulterior motive? Because I don't have any allegiance to the tourism bureaus. You know, Vermont doesn't go through me or anything else, or New Hampshire. And
your allegiance are the people who enjoy it.
Yes. Yeah, I try to give them the best, most accurate information that I can, you know, and that's just the way it is.
Now, you made a statement to the Boston Globe reporter, Billy Baker, that would seem to be, you know, heresy for leaf peepers. And that is, you say, there really is no peak season. What? As the kids say.
Well, peak is a continuum. It's not a whole season. It's just a short period of time where if we get the right weather, the right seasonal influences, our summer's just right, it all builds into this crescendo of color. You know, it starts building in September, the temperatures drop, we get sunny days, and the leaves move into it, and then they move out of it. But the leaves in general are not doing it all at the same time. It's not from northern New Hampshire all the way to Connecticut. It starts up in New Hampshire, and then it moves down into the White Mountains. Then the next week, it moves into the Lakes region. So it's a very hard-to-hit target. What I try to do is I tell people, place yourself right where I try to guess will be a good spot where you can go north if the color is late, and if the color is early, you can go south. So just put yourself in the best place you can, and then you can have a best chance of finding really good peak color.
So don't gasp, but Jeff Folger, known as Jeff Foliage, I've never leaf peeped as long as I've lived in. Yeah, I know you would gasp. And here's why. Here's the tour I need. I need the look at it, comfortably from some lovely, comfortable seat. Someone else is driving. I need to get off, have a lovely lunch with a glass of wine, get back on, look at some more, and go home. And, you know, it seems like too much work for the people are tromping around with the cameras. I don't want to do any of that. I just want to look at it. Any tour like that?
Yes, we'll talk later.
All right, I'm going to check your site to find out if that's the way to do it. In the meantime, I must say, just talking to you, I've caught the enthusiasm, and now I want to see some leaves and figure out what's going on. I want to appreciate the outdoors in the way that you've sort of made it special here today. So thank you so much for coming in and talk to us.
Thank you for having me.
We've been talking leaf peeping with Jeff Folger. He's a professional photographer and extreme leaf peeper. We've linked to some of his photography on our website, WGBHnews.org/BPR. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
It is, of course, Thursday, and that means Edgar B. Herwick III.
Hey, Callie, how you doing? Are you a classical music fan?
I am. Beethoven and the rest.
Yep. And, might not sound like classical music here, but you were just talking about extreme leaf peeping, and we're going to talk about taking classical music to the extreme in a way, including a group that's going to be playing an arrangement of music from this artist that we're listening to, Bjork.
Is that the same woman that wore the swan around her neck to the Oscars?
The very same, yes.
Yeah, there you go. She is extreme.
And awesome.
I'm Callie Crossley.
I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, and you're listening to Boston Public Radio.